Lululemon shares are falling off a cliff following the company's latest earnings report. Is this thing an actual lemon, or can they turn it into lemonade? And unfortunately, I'm not talking about the lemons that Jordan Belfort ate in The Wolf of Wall Street in the form of Quaaludes. We are talking about the bad kind of lemons here. So let's go ahead and dive into Lululemon. Welcome to the 5-Minute Peel. My name is David from WSO. Let's go ahead and get started. So what I'm going to do is pull up and share my screen here so that we can walk through things. And what we see first and foremost, this is a chart of Lulu's stock price over the past year or so. And this is some basic information on the company itself. So as we can see, it's nearly a $50 billion stock. It's had a great past year, up over 24%. If we scroll down this column, we can start to see a little bit why. So we see margins are improving nearly across the board, up 5.3% in terms of a gross margin tied to nearly 60%. EBIT margins are improving strongly as well, and operating cash flow is absolutely exploding, more than doubling over the past year. A lot of that just has to do with the lack of restructuring charges that were hit in 2022. Those were gone in 2023, so not a huge thing to bank on going forward, but obviously moving in the right direction. Now, something that we do want to bank on going forward is the company's cash ratio, and more broadly, their solvency and liquidity. The company is very solid. They have more cash than they do current liabilities, and hardly any debt on the balance sheet as well, about $1.4 billion in total, most of that in lease liabilities. So I've highlighted some of the most important stuff from the Q4 2023 results. This is another one of those companies that struggles with counting, but they did manage to beat on both the top and bottom, delivering $3.21 billion, beat on EPS as well, reporting $5.29 versus the $5 per share that was expected. Big reason for that has been growth internationally. Now, international growth is up 56%, excluding currency fluctuations. And the reason that the stock has been selling off is largely because of this line item right here, seeing only 9% annual revenue growth here in the United States versus 29% for the same period in the year prior. Obviously, that's a huge drop off. It's something that came as quite the shock to analysts, and that's driving a lot of the downside. Management blamed a shortage of clothing within the size range of 0 to 4. I didn't know there was any size 0 to 4 left in the United States, but either way, apparently it's a big problem according to management. Gross profit increased at the same time, so why is everybody so upset? Well, same store sales were looking disgusting. This is a hugely important metric in retail. It's the growth at an individual store basis. Only 7% in the United States, but 44% internationally, speaks to strong international growth, but a maturing company exiting its growth stage here in the United States. Now, this nets out to 12% total, which isn't bad, but analysts were expecting 12.3%. And then guidance didn't really get us too excited either, projecting only 9 to 10% for Q1 and 10 to 12% for the entire fiscal year. That's a strong slowdown from what the company has experienced in the past. But once again, what we're seeing here in real time is a company going through puberty. You know, you never want to call somebody ugly in middle school because you never know what's going to happen and what's going to turn out by the end of senior year. So Lululemon's kind of in that middle school stage right now, going from a very high growth company to a more mature established industry player. Now, they did reiterate previous guidance of doubling revenue from 2021 by 26 to $12.5 billion. We'll see if they can actually do that, but it looks like they're on their pathway there if we look at revenue over the past couple of years. Now, this thing has been growing extremely healthily. 2021 was a big year. They've been slowing down since then, which only makes sense for a company that's grown to nearly $50 billion in market cap and almost $10 billion in revenue. It would be insane to expect them to continue that same level of growth, and that's why we're seeing this kind of fall off. It's been dropping off over the past decade. It's still at 18.6%, so healthy revenue growth even for a maturing company. Now, let's keep it simple, stupid. Let's keep looking at the main line items that we worry about. So net income is obviously going to be another big one. We can see that it took a fat jump up, nearly doubling in 2023 from the year prior. Again, a lot of that is due to the timing of restructuring expenses that hit on the operational side rather than being capitalized. And we can see, you know, a similar trend in terms of net income growth slowing down. It's a little bit more volatile because there's more inputs impacting net income than revenue. So that's why we see that volatility. But overall, we are seeing lower highs in terms of revenue growth, even going back to 2009, lower highs, lower lows. So we were analyzing it like a stock. It's not something to be bullish on. But free cash flow per share, this is once again a sign of a maturing company, that going from net income growth to per share growth on a free cash flow basis. This is kind of like the most pure way to measure a company, because if you were a limited partner in Lulu, this is essentially what they would be issuing you at the end of the quarter, $12.09 per share that you hold. This has absolutely exploded. Again, another sign of a maturing company. The big problem with maturing companies, however, is that they sometimes start to kind of lose their moat, and they do rely a little bit too much on economic development. So let's focus on the economic side first. According to Bank of America, U.S. consumers still have a fat pile of cash sitting in their bank accounts. The big problem right now is the spending mix between goods on one side and services and experiences on the other. Ever since the pandemic, consumers has heavily leaned towards services and experiences. We do expect that to normalize and return to the mean over time. So that's one thing that makes us a little bit bullish when we see this cash balance, because clearly consumers have money to spend on all goods, experiences, and services. But we'll see that mix normalize relatively over time, kind of get back to 2019 levels. And speaking of normalization, getting back to 2019 or pre-pandemic levels, we expect the same of consumer sentiment as well. So this entire time, consumers haven't nearly been able to be as optimistic as they were prior to the pandemic. In terms of sentiment, we were right about the 100 mark, and now we're barely even at 75, 80 right now. So consumers are still very hesitant to spend money, or much more so than they normally would be, expecting bad fortunes for the economy. As we see this continue to improve, consumer spending will kind of increase alongside that, or at least the hope for consumer spending will increase alongside that. And Lululemon, every company in America is going to be a beneficiary of it. We just expect Lulu to do well, given the reallocation to goods and the popularity of Lulu among high-income consumers. So that's a big reason to be bullish on the economic side. Now, going back to that moat that we mentioned earlier, return on invested capital, return on equity, two great ways to measure a company's moat. And since 2020, we've seen both of these increase quite a bit. We're seeing higher lows, higher highs in both of these. And that is a good sign, especially considering another big threat for this company is what I like to call Insta brands, or competitors like Vuori, like Aloe Yoga, like CRZ Yoga, all that stuff. When these competitors come in, you know, it's the Jeff Bezos quote, it's your margin is my opportunity. So Lulu's margin is their opportunity. Clearly, it hasn't gone well over the past couple of years, as they've been able to still churn out a return on that invested capital and on their equity. So that moat isn't really much of a concern just yet. Valuations, however, absolutely are. So the company is still valued extremely highly. Now, they get this valuation because of high growth in the past and a great brand reputation. But this is exactly what we would expect to deteriorate in a maturing company, especially on an earnings basis. So if we look at the PE, they also have the highest in their industry group. So that's what we want to be on the lookout for. To summarize our thoughts at this point, Lulu is performing very strongly on a fundamental basis. It's undeniable with revenue, net income, free cash flow growth. The company is clearly transitioning from growth to a more mature player. That's why we're starting to see free cash flow growth dominate and kind of be the most important thing to be paying attention to, especially on a per share basis. Now, what we are concerned about is the ratio of spending on goods is unusually high, the ratio of spending on goods is unusually low. Services is very high. And so if that does normalize over time and kind of revert to the mean where it's more of an even split, that's going to be great for Lulu and every other good seller in the US, so it has that macro backing. Now, another big concern that we have is the growing competition in brands among Gen Z consumers. Like we talked about with Nike, Gen Z doesn't give a good goddamn about a company's brand. They want to be weird and unique and like the only one that has that brand, kind of like their music taste. Like they want to be the only one who listens to a certain indie band or whatever. So big brands could be falling out of favor with Gen Z, but it doesn't necessarily matter because one, Lulu sells to high-income consumers, and a lot of them are Gen Z, and typically Gen Z high-income consumers would buy Lulu, but they're relying on the international markets for that growth opportunity, especially in China. Anytime you're relying on China as an American brand for growth, it's not a good sign to be, but they're at nearly 80% right now, so we can't be too mad about that at this point. Now, what to watch going forward? First and foremost, the big question with Lulu is, can the pace of earnings growth exceed that of an assumed decreasing multiple? So with a maturing company, we're going to see its valuation decrease, but as long as its earnings growth exceeds that of the decrease in the multiple, its stock price will still go up. That's a big question right now. You know, after seeing a lot of this data, we certainly think it's possible. Now, the question is, what's more likely? But of course, international expansion is going to play a big role in that, especially in China. Can this be as successful as planned? And finally, a big question looking forward is how trendy or faddish these Insta brands are. If they're not going to stick around a while, Lulu is off to the races. But if Vuori means business, then, you know, a little bit of that margin is going to get eaten. That's going to hurt both the valuation and the earnings side of things. So all in all, what is WSO's rating? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we give this bad boy 4 out of 5 bananas. Now, originally I gave it 3 out of 5. It was a neutral weighting, but we like to make big, bold calls here at the Daily Peel. So I'm going with an overweight call, 4 bananas out of 5. If I said 5, I would say drop what you're doing right now and go buy this stock. But for now, what I'm saying is if you own Lulu, you better own it in an overweight setting, because provided that things work out, this thing is definitely going to be outperforming. You know, for a lot of the reasons that we mentioned earlier, obviously this is a high risk play. Wouldn't necessarily say pour into it if you don't already own shares, but hey, That's our analysis of Lulu. Let me know what you guys think, and hopefully we'll all be as happy as Patrick Starr if we buy the stock and it ends up working out too well. Happy investing, happy trading. We will see you guys next time. Let us know what stocks you want to see covered and anything else like that. But like I said, happy investing, happy trading. We'll see you later. Bye now.
And thanks to you, my listeners at Wall Street Oasis. If you have any suggestions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to send them my way, Patrick at wallstreetoasis.com. Until next time.